seated this morning. It is December 18th, and we are excited because it's the holiday season, and this is our Christmas program here at Calvary Gospel Church. So we, on behalf of Pastor Roy and Sister Lois and all the pastors here at Calvary Gospel Church, we just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for worshiping with us, for spending this season so busy. There's so much going on. And to take a moment out to worship with friends and family, to take a moment out to sit and think about what God is doing in your life is so valuable. And we're just so glad that you're here this morning worshiping with us in this service. This morning, the service is going to be interesting. You're going to have some fun. There's going to be some serious moments. There'll be some very awkward moments. It's okay if you need to look back and figure out who's making a mistake, right? That's normal. The kids are in service with us. This is the way we do it. But it's going to be about Jesus this morning. That's the purpose of the service. We do have a few announcements before we get into our program. We wanted to let everybody know that our next Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. there's a Christmas Eve service. There is no Christmas service on Christmas Day, the 25th, but at 5 p.m. there is a Christmas Eve service, and we would welcome you. We'd invite you to come join us to worship God in that service. And also, at Calvary Gospel Church, we support a national fundraiser called Christmas for Christ. A lot of people out there ringing bells, a lot of things out there to give to, all great causes, a lot of great causes out there. But this is one that we champion here at Calvary Gospel Church during this season called Christmas for Christ, and we are encouraged to give our best Christmas gift to God through this offering. This offering supports the launch of new churches in North America and many other endeavors. You can give through our normal offering methods. You can give, there's a box in the back. You can give online. You can give by mail. You can give via the mobile app. And you just note that this is CFC, Christmas for Christ. And you can just, or you can just drop it off in the lobby. And one thing I'd say is that as part of this, it's starting new churches, right? We want to see the whole gospel reach out to the whole world. And part of that is people going that say, I want to go and I want to preach and I want to start something. And helping them out financially. This church was a recipient of Christmas for Christ, one of the very first, many, many, many years ago. And look what God has done with that probably small seed offering that really made a difference. Lastly, I would say after service, everyone is invited to join us for milk and cookies and coffee. I think we might even have some hot chocolate in the fellowship hall. I realize it'll probably be around 11:30, noon, whatever the time is. And so if you're going to go home and you got to get to naps, take some cookies and milk to go. Try to make it so you could do that. I get it. Put them on a plate. Get the little milk cartons. But we just wanted to have an opportunity for people to fellowship and focus on friends and family in this season today. So with that said, we want to start with our kids' choir. So these kids have been practicing every Sunday. I'm going to move this down here for Becky. Every Sunday. So kids, why don't you come up here? There's no teachers leading them this time like normal. They're going to work their way up here, and I'm going to turn it over to Becky. Don't they look good? That's right. Let's give them a hand. You kids are doing great. Yes. Okay, and now the customary parents for your Instagram photos. You can work your way up to the Instagram zone. No, I'm just kidding. There's not an Instagram. But you can work your way up. We know how this works. Okay. Hold on. That's, sorry, Jane, that video's for later. That's we got the wrong one queued up. Sorry, guys, that wasn't the song you practiced.
Can we still do that song?
Yeah, can we still do that?
That's a good song. I'd rather do that than jumping from the
I do. stable.
In a stable.
On the mountain.
Oh, I got this.
Bethlehem.
Yeah, they're all dead.
I know.
No.
Dasher, Dixon, Rudolph. That's about all.
Dasher and Dancer, Comet, Cupid, Donner,
Blitzen.
Rudolph technically was not supposed to be a part of Santa's sleigh, so I'm going to tell you right now,
okay.
He did not have
Yeah.
Yes.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Oh,
okay. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faith, meekness.
Can anyone besides Olivia name it for the spirit?
Kindness,
faithfulness,
and self-control.
3, 4, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Can you guys give me?
Through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. On the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleigh song tonight.
Jingle bells.
Some awesome young people in this church and awesome people behind the scenes, probably parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles raising them. You're doing a great job. Youth, I'm proud of you. Thanks for being a part. You guys did great. If you're looking for more youth music, I hear the Sarah George Facebook page has a great song from last night. I saw that. My wife and I really enjoyed that. Christmas carols in the George home. So John 1. Verse 44 through 45, we pick up in the story of Elizabeth, who's pregnant. And Elizabeth is related to Mary and Joseph. And Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. They're both pregnant. And this is what she says. She says, "For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me." When the sound of your greeting, Mary, when you showed up and you said, "Hey, Elizabeth, how's it going?" My baby leapt at your voice. Is it because the voice was pretty? Was it soft? Was it kind? Or did the baby sense the Spirit of God that was at work in Mary at that moment? It's the Christmas season, or maybe back then it wasn't known as the Christmas season, but I can't imagine there's a lot of joy going around back then. Go read through the story, Matthew and Luke and the different parts, and like, there's not a lot of times where people are excited about this. They have to like literally be made excited, but this child was excited because he sensed there was something coming. There was something different. And he leapt for joy in his mother's womb. In verse 45, it says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." There's a lesson for all of us in this. God has given you a promise in your life. Blessed are you when you believe it, when you act on it, when you obey God's word and say, "It may not make sense in this moment, but this, I'm this chosen person that has to give birth to this baby when I've never been with a man and I'm not married and this is going to be weird and awkward and people are going to make fun of me." But God made a promise. God made a promise. And God's made a promise to each and every one of us that he's going to be with us. Blessed is she. Blessed is he. Blessed are they when they believe and obey and act on what God said he would fulfill in their lives. God bless. Thank you. Giant, not a map, but like a, where you could see every verse, and you could look at all the times angels were mentioned. You'd see this cluster of like points where angels are mentioned, where they come out and they bring a message to a story or to an event. And it happens a lot during this story. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains. Matthew 1:20. We talk about angels. It says this: the birth of Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry, we'll say that. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. We think about the angels talking to the shepherds. We think about the angel that talked to Mary and said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby, but I'm not married, but you're going to have a baby, and it's God's Spirit inside of you doing this work." We think about the angel now talking to Joseph. In this story, angels were so important. They were telling us, they're like, "Hey, I got to step in here because I don't know if everybody's really getting this. Mary, you're not going to get this. Let me, this angelic being sent from God said, let me make it clearer for you." Joseph didn't believe. This angelic being comes down. Let me make it clearer for you. The wise men are told and warned about it in a dream. Later, Joseph is also told by an angel to leave and go to Egypt. This is an important story. And even they might have missed it if it weren't for angels that had to step down and speak into their lives. We have an opportunity now. We've never done this before at a Christmas program. But there's a lot of kids here. And we have an object lesson. So if you gentlemen could come down, bring the table. Sister Lindsay Osborne wants to teach us an object lesson. Okay, I've asked that at least we keep the ceiling tiles clean and the floor, like, washable at the end. Okay, that's the only criteria. So, Sister Lindsay.
Thank you. Ooh, that's loud. All right. Peter remembered that I don't like to hold a mic, so they gave me a headset, so I have to remember not to yell. So, bear with me. Again, my goal is not to make a mess. I will try my best. So, the Christmas story. It's one we hear. But when you think of Jesus being born, and I'm going to let you shout it out, what is one word you think of? Anybody? What do you think of when you hear that baby Jesus was born? What's a word? Joy. What else? Stable. What else? Savior. Salvation. Peace. Messiah. What about hope? What about the hope you feel? I know that I am very thankful for Jesus. You know, I said I wasn't going to cry. I came here almost 13 years ago now, and it blows my mind. Senior year, I walked through those doors, and I was like, I don't know what this is, and I'm going to be here for 20 minutes, and I'm going home. I was like, I'm not doing this. This is the weirdest thing. The first person to come up and talk to me was Fiona and Jennifer Powell, and I was like, they're nice. I want to go home. Like, and little did I know that this would be my home. But that's because there is hope in Jesus. In a little baby boy, there is hope. But as we know, as somebody who did not grow up in church, you can hear that. This is a real bottle of soda in case anybody, yep, see? If anybody was questioning it, there we go. We are filled with other things. I relied on my hope and other things. My hope came from the world. My hope came from friends that didn't understand. Friends that maybe grew up the same way I did. Friends who, for me, we grew up too fast. You know? So there's that hope. But as most of my Sunday schoolers know, when I have a balloon, who does that represent? Anybody, who does the balloon represent? Josh. Us. Josh, who remembers. The balloon represents us. The soda is going to represent Jesus today. In my balloon, you cannot see probably from far away. It is heavy. There is stuff inside. You can almost hear it when I do this. It weighs us down. This balloon is not going to float. This balloon is not going to blow up and stand upright. Because it has hope in other things. It's joys and other things. And even if I put it on top, there we go, it still does nothing. It has no joy to bring it up. It has nothing. It thinks its joy is somewhere else. We think our joy is elsewhere, and there it sits. There's nothing for it to do. But with a little bit of joy in Jesus, when I walk through those doors, that little bit of hope I found in somebody saying hi to me, a little bit of hope in two amazing youth pastors that didn't give up on me when I left for a few times, I found my joy. And when you find your joy, and everything can empty out, and you give it all to Jesus, that balloon no longer stays where it was. That balloon slowly gets to get rid of all of the joy that it found, and you give it to Jesus. It doesn't stay there. It's not down anymore. It gets to find itself. And the more it finds, the more it fills, and the bigger it gets, and the more hope you have. This is what I did yesterday, and it came flying off, so that's where my hope in not making a mess comes from. So, I want to do it one more time, because I'm somebody who learns visually. My Sunday schoolers know that. That's why I always teach this way. But if we didn't have hope, and we let it weigh us down, and we wanted to find some joy, or even if I brought you a balloon, would you want this one that I can't blow up? If I came to your party and I was like, here's a balloon, you'd be like, that's a pretty lame balloon. It doesn't blow up. But the more we release all the things that weigh us down and the more joy we find, the bigger our balloons fill, the bigger our hearts fill. It takes time. Sometimes our joy comes and goes because we forget where we put it. And Christmas is a great reminder of that every time. A little baby came into this world and brought so much joy, so much hope. There's hope. And it takes time, but eventually it's going to get bigger and bigger. And eventually that hope, you can't contain it. My goal today is not for this to explode, so don't worry. But eventually you can't contain it, and it has to go somewhere. And if Fiona and Jennifer didn't feel that hope inside of them, and they didn't know what to do with it, I would have never found it. They wouldn't have shared it with me. When you have too much of something, you share it. God knew we needed a Savior, and we weren't listening the way he wanted us to. So he gave us it in the form of a baby. You know, we don't think about it that way. You're like, oh, Jesus was born. You ask kids, what's Christmas about? Jesus. But why? What is the point? Because there's hope in Jesus. There's joy in Jesus. And you have to find that, and you have to fill it, and you have to keep refilling it. How many of you have had balloons at a party before? How many of you have kept the balloons after a party? And then a week later, where do you find them? On the floor. Because why? They lost their helium. They lost their joy. If you don't keep coming and keep refilling it, your balloon is eventually going to be on the floor and end up under a couch, end up somewhere. You have to keep refilling it. And you have to keep remembering that it wasn't a baby just for a day, but he grew up to be a man, and he grew up to do things for us because he has hope in us. He hopes that we can do the right thing, just like we should have hope in him. So that's what I have for you today, is just to remember to be filled with hope today and keep filling those balloons. And not just remember that Christmas was about when he was born, but Christmas was about what he brought for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Can you guys come down and help her move this table again? No, I'll be okay. I just looked over. I heard somebody say, yes. Bishop, we are so happy to see you this morning. Let's give him a hand. Bishop is one of those people that, or I'm one of those people that Bishop brags about, that he did my dedication at the church here, and then he married me, and then he did my kids' dedications. And so, Bishop, you have been a part of so many lives in this church. It is so great to see you. We love you so much. No pressure, Dean. Bishop's here. We talk about hope. And we think about our situations and where we're at. We think about our situations and say, man, I just need some hope in my life. There's depression and anxiety. There's fear. There's worries. There's stresses. Forget the season, right? That all just comes with life. I don't know what to do with my family, my marriage, my kids. I don't know what to do with my boss, my coworkers. But there was a people thousands of years ago, the Israelites. And they were the ones that were promised a Messiah. They were promised a Savior. Why would they need the Savior, this Messiah, a king? Because they were held bondage. They kept getting taken over by all the people in their areas. And yet, we read in Lamentations, yes, I'm reading from Lamentations on Christmas. Lamentations 3, verse 21, it says, "Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him." These are people just like you and I. People waiting for this hope, this Messiah. And they had hope that this God was going to come. This Savior was going to take care of their problems. This Savior was going to help them. And then we read in Romans 15 in the New Testament, verse 12, and it says, and he's quoting from Isaiah. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will appear. The one who rises to rule the Gentiles will hope in him." And then in verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He says, "I have something for you to do, but I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you hope. And it's not just, you don't just sit there and wait for it. I am your hope when you follow me and you do things the way that I want." And that's why we read in 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul says, "For this reason we labor and we strive, because we have put our hope in the living God." He didn't say, "For this reason we just sit and wait and see when God's going to fix our problems." He said, "For this reason, we labor and we strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially on those who believe." There's hope for your situation today. There's hope for your situation tomorrow. And it all starts with this story.
This is how it moves, violent night like any. that we can miss the meaning of Christmas?
100%.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Oh, yes. We get so caught up in presents.
And the way society has painted it.
Yeah.
We get caught up in the details of, like, everything has to look perfect and Christmas. Yeah.
Gifts, decorations, family, even, tradition.
Getting everything done. Time consuming. You're stressed. And you forget the real meaning of the whole season.
Jesus.
If I could have Kate and if you three boys could come help me here. If everybody could stand, we're going to take a minute here. We're going to just take a moment from the service. There's some candles underneath there. I'd like you to find your family and sit with your family or whoever's your closest. If you're here by yourself, I get it. I've been in services like that. Find that person. If you see somebody that doesn't have a family, maybe let them come into yours. And send somebody from your family down and grab a candle. Okay, grab one candle for your family. We want you to hold on to the candle. And on your way down, find somebody that you don't know or you haven't seen. Go ahead, shake hands, greet somebody, wish them a Merry Christmas. We're just going to take a quick time out here. Hold on, just a minute. Does everybody get a candle? Let's just take a moment here, just a moment. Let's take a break from the program. Or maybe this is all part of the program, the dream within the dream within the dream. Let's just take a moment away from the program, take a time out, and think about what's happening right now. We're in the middle of a Christmas program. We're supposed to be talking about the nativity, about Jesus' birth and this great story and Christmas. We're literally in the middle of a Christmas program to celebrate Christmas, and even in the middle of a program, It's easy to get so lost in the people and the activity and the chaos. The silliness, the fun, the pain, the children. That the entire purpose for the holiday we come to celebrate can get lost. Find your families. Let's have a seat. Let's just think about this for a minute. Let's go a little bit further. How easily we become distracted. How easily we become distracted and miss the imperfect, simple, and personal story that God has for us during this season. How easily we can miss the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I think about back then when this story happened, that these people, God's chosen people, had lived in bondage for hundreds and hundreds of years because of God's judgment and, yes, their own choices. But they were promised a deliverer. They were promised a Savior, a Messiah, a King. They were promised someone who would lead them so that they didn't have to live the way they were living. They were promised someone who would be wonderful to them. Someone who would be a counselor to them. Someone who would be mighty enough to help them with their situations. Someone who would caringly father them forever. Someone who would usher peace into their lives. And they knew this promise. They knew this Messiah was coming. They've heard it through generation and generation and generation, and they were constantly looking for it. They were on the lookout for this Messiah, this King, this Savior. But as time went on, their focus shifted. Even in the midst of their pain, their suffering, their bad choices, they chose to shift their focus from this promised King and his amazing kingdom to another kingdom. The one right in front of them. The one that beckons to us every day. For them, it might have been going to the mill and getting your grain and milking your cows and going down to the river to get your water or whatever it was back then. It might have been trying to get your kids out of the neighbor's, you know, goat farm. But it was the day-to-day thing that beckons them that shifted their focus to. I think about the people at the time of Jesus' birth. Their times were not unlike our times. Their kingdom and country was ruled by the Romans. Another kingdom was controlling them, albeit through their Jewish king Herod, who was really just a puppet to the Romans. They had a lot going on. They had taxes. They had jobs. I'm sure they had inflation. They just didn't know what that word meant at the time, right? Maybe their gas prices weren't going up, but the price to feed a cow or a goat to move was going up, right? And at this time, Caesar Augustus, the leader of Rome, says, you know what? I want to register. I want to get everybody registered, and we're going to count everybody. And here they are living in their home country, being told what to do by a king thousands of miles away. He says, we're going to register everybody. And so they have to all go to their homes. And they have to say, okay, I'm going back. Look, I was born in Madison. I live in Marshall. I'd have to walk or ride my camel all the way back into Madison and say, I'm Peter Zandon. I was born in Madison. This is my wife, you know, and here's our kids. Okay, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got a cat. Yeah, there's a cat. Okay, right. And they're keeping track of everything. That's us, yes. People are coming and going. There's long days of travel. They're being stopped at checkpoints. You could see where it would be easy to miss a potential coming of their king. But he wasn't just missed because they were busy. He was missed also because he didn't come like they thought a king might come. They expected a conqueror, but he came as a baby. They expected a king in all his splendor with his horses and his armies, but he came in a manger. The coming of the Messiah, the King of Kings, the hope of this world, was missed by nearly everyone. In fact, if the angels hadn't made people aware of it, it might have been missed by most people, everybody. We read in John 1, verse 10. This is a tough verse. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. Today, we're not unlike them. We're not unlike the people of that time. We're not unlike the people thousands of years ago that were losing their focus and focusing on what was in front of them. Life hasn't changed much. There's always going to be the now. There's always going to be the thing in front of us. There's always going to be work. Unless we can all become Instagram famous or YouTubers, then, you know, it's less work. But that's a small group. There's always going to be children. There's always going to be family. There's always going to be personal struggle. And so it's where we look to for help when those things happen. We have distractions in our lives, but we also have expectations. We have our issues and our struggles and our situations. We have our anxieties and our depressions. We have our fears and our doubts and our worries and our stressors. We have all these things, and just like them, we're hoping for this king, this Messiah, this Savior to kind of ride down on his horse with his armies and take care of everything for us. And he said, I didn't do it like that. I came as a baby because I just wanted to be with you. I wanted to grow with you. I wanted to experience life with you. And that's what he's telling us today. But we miss it. We miss out on what he came for. We can relate to them. We can relate to them because we are them. But he is here in this time. He is here at this moment. He is here in this place, wanting to be with us. But we're too busy. We're too distracted. There is so much going on in our lives, it's easy to miss Jesus. This past week for me was not a great one. Family's coming into town this week right here. Christmas, shopping, kids, work, trying to get things closed out. And on top of it, we all got the flu. Not the coronavirus, whoever said that. We all got the flu. And it was bad. We were down for like 6 days. It was horrible. You're all there. Most of the country's sick right now, right? We went to Target yesterday because we were like, okay, we're finally through this. Let's go run some errands. And it was a zoo. It just grates on you. There's so much going on in the season that it's easy to miss Jesus. Multiple people, crowds walking around, and the baby comes and goes and is missed. Christmas is here. The stores are busy. The parking lots are angry. The Christmas parties are many. And Jesus is here as a Savior and a King. And we miss him because we're looking in the wrong spots. We're looking at what's in front of us. And sometimes I wonder, why do I feel angry? Or why do I feel sad? Or what is this going on? And God, just take this from me. And God's like, I'm right here, but you're turning to the other things. You're focused on your self-help. You're not focused on prayer. You're focused on your podcasts and your YouTube videos, Peter, trying to learn something from that next great preacher or teacher or person. But my word is right here. I heard somebody the other day said, if you want to hear from God, open up his word and start reading it. And don't stop until you hear him say something to you. He will. And if it doesn't work that day, do it the next day. And if it doesn't work that day, do it the next day. This idea of saying, I need to focus on Jesus in my life. We sit through a Christmas program and we can miss the opportunity to connect and respond to the King of our lives. The one who saves us and delivers us. This was here all along, folks. Every part of this nativity, every one of these people has been up here this whole time, but we miss it because we're singing and we're doing fun things and we're doing object lessons. God's like, I'm right here. Rest can come down. As a king with glory and horses and chariots and armies. He could have saved us and delivered us from our struggles while he was staying in heaven. Just snap his fingers, send a couple bolts of lightning down there. He could have done it that way. He's God. He has all power. But he chose to live with us as a baby, as this example that says, look, I'm coming as a baby. I'm going to be a present thing in your life, not this God from on high like Zeus shooting lightning bolts. I'm in your life. I'm a part of you. And he's here right now saying, he said when he was here, he's like, I am with you, but I want to be in you. I shall be in you. My spirit can come live inside of you and be that presence. It's not this crazy king conqueror with the armies. It's a peace, the Prince of Peace, that lives inside of us. He chose to live with us as a baby, to grow with us, to experience life, to set an example for how to overcome and to have us follow him, his way of doing things. Choosing to follow Jesus is so much more than celebrating a nativity or wearing a cross or saying, God, I accept you today. Following Jesus is so much more than attending church and giving offerings and wearing a tie. Following Jesus is choosing to live as he lived, regardless of how difficult it is. Choosing to follow his way of doing things. We read in John 1:10 again, it says he was in the world. And the world was created through him and did not recognize him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But in verse 13, it says, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's power in the Spirit today. There's joy. There's hope. There's peace in the Spirit today. But we have to focus on him. It is in this we have something to hope for. If he is our Savior, our Messiah, and our King, let's not miss the opportunity to follow him, to commit every day to doing what he would do. Stand with me today, please. This season, let's take the time to ensure we are fully grasping what Jesus is wanting to do in our lives and not miss it. The invitation right now for everyone in this building is to give you that moment that they didn't have. I'm not an angel. I'm not going to the shepherds. You're not shepherds. But I'm saying the King is here and you can worship him this morning. I know it's a baby. That's not the King. This is for us to picture. I encourage you. I invite you and your family to come to the front. Gather each other in your arms and worship God this morning. Let's take the next 10 minutes and just worship him. The lights are down. The focus is on him. Let's worship him as the choir sings. Think about the song. Think about the lyrics. Focus on him. Focus on the story. Tell him what you want to say to him or about him. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's just talking. But this morning, however hard it is, be honest. And focus on Jesus as a family as we worship.
Broken, the unworthy you came.
Something different today. That is the presence of God that is here. It is not coming from that baby. It is coming from God's presence. Remember I said, he said, I'm with you now, but I go to prepare a place. He's like, but the Holy Spirit, I'm going to come to you and live inside of you. The story starts with a baby in a manger, but it ends with a brutal murder on a cross. And we might ask, man, that's crazy. Jesus died. We know the story. He was buried in a grave, and then he rose again. And then when Peter and the apostles, they all get together later on, and God says, just go wait for me to speak to you. And they're like, well, you were just this person. You said your Holy Spirit was coming. What does that look like? And all of a sudden, Peter gets up and he starts preaching. And he's preaching from Joel. And he's preaching about how this is coming that he talked about. This thing, this spirit that's going to live inside of us. And and they start feeling bad. Yeah, we killed this guy. They said, what are we supposed to do about this? What do? We killed our Savior, our Messiah. We murdered him. And he's like, this is what we do. We need to repent. We need to say, God, I'm sorry. Repentance is saying you're sorry to God and saying, I want to turn my life. I want to do things differently. This honesty that says, my way's not working, God. I'm sorry. I want to do things differently. I know what I'm doing is sin. He says we need to repent. He said we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by going completely underwater. He said, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you'll know you receive it because you'll speak in tongues. That's the way they did it in the New Testament. When they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. And so there's one less thing not to miss this morning. There's one more thing that we can't miss this morning. If you are here and you want the Holy Spirit, you want God, all of God living inside of you, helping you, being your Messiah, being your Savior, being your King, being your leader, directing you, being wonderful, being a counselor, being mighty, being the Prince of Peace, being your Father. If you've missed those things in your life and you want them, don't miss out on the chance this morning to have His Spirit live inside of you. Or maybe it's been some time and you were filled with the Holy Ghost once before. But maybe that level of fullness has kind of come down. Maybe the distractions come back and the focus comes off. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, you can be. And it might be a little awkward. But if you would like to be, we would just ask you to come up to the front. Everybody's up here, I know. Just work your way over to this side. We have people that will pray with you. We have people that will pray with you to help you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They don't give it to you. So as we worship again, you could pray by yourself. You could pray with other people. But if you'd like to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time, or if you'd like to receive it and it be refilled, I invite you to come down here today. It will change your life. This is not a one-time event. This is not a baby being born thousands of years ago that people forget about. This is a life-changing event to have Jesus living inside of you. So as they sing and continue to sing, I welcome you if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you would like that awesome hope and peace and joy of God in your life, come on down. He wants to fill you this morning. Some folks praying up here at the front, and a lot of you are
ready to move on to the next portion here, but I want to thank you for coming, and I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. Now, we have cookies and milk and such in the fellowship hall. We're inviting you all to go to the fellowship hall. We're taking a series in our Christmas season, and we've titled it, "Tis the Season." And the last point that we covered in our series last week was unrealistic expectations. So many times we have unrealistic expectations of what Christmas is. And humanity missed his birth the first time because they had unrealistic expectations on what a Messiah should look like and how he should come into this world. So as you enter into, as we enter into the 1 week before Christmas, remember what Christmas is really all about. It's all about Jesus. God bless you. Thank you so very much. Thank you to all of our music team, our Sunday school, all those that were involved, Pastor Peter. Thank you so very much. God bless you and have a very, very Merry Christmas.